You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome. This is your host, Ken Lane. We're here on The Mountain Gardener. We talk about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And the fall weather is stunning. This is the greatest thing ever. Now, for you that are new to the area, it doesn't stay like this. We are truly a four-season climate. This is unusually warm. In fact, I'm looking forward to a little chill in the air, a little bit of moisture. It's been a while since northern Arizona has seen some moisture. But it's coming. Guarantee. We have some definite wet cycles that happen to us here in the mountains. Now, here's one thing you should put on your radar or be aware of, especially if you're using living trees, either cut ones or living trees. You're using an actual fresh tree in your house. This kind of weather is terrible for them. They hate this. Not the ones in the ground. I'm talking about the ones you're going to go to a Christmas tree lot, pick one up. I mean, we just had several hundred Christmas trees come in. And this weather, I'm worried. So we are really pampering our trees to ensure that they survive. They make it through the end of next month, the end of the holidays. And so what happens is it's very dry and very warm. Then you're going to take it home and put that tree up into a south-facing window, and it's just going to roast. There's not a chance in the world it's going to make it until then, unless you do a couple things. Here's what we're doing here, at least at Waters Garden Center, what we're doing on our lot. We're spraying the trees as we set them up, so we keep them wrapped as long as we can, because as soon as they take that wrapping off, that string tie tape around this, it opens up, it exposes all of the needles to drying out. This is really important for cut trees, your cut Christmas trees. What we do is we'll spray them with Wilt Stop. This is an agricultural product. You use it on hollies and rhododendrons, things that maybe don't like our dry climate. We'll sell that in the spring to help those get along. Japanese maples, you can just go right down the list of plants that struggle. Well, they will spray those plants with Wilt Stop. It's a clear coating. It's kind of like putting moisturizer or sunblock onto the foliage. Well, it also works exceptionally well for cut Christmas trees, especially when it's warm and dry like we have right now. Now, hopefully it cools off a little bit and we get a storm coming through, and that'll greatly reduce the amount of dryness, the quickness at which it dries out. But the Wilt Stop, when I take our Christmas tree home at the Lane Casa, I'm going to spritz that foliage while it's still outside. I'll let it dry, and it'll put this nice sheen to it. So we'll spray it with a light mixture here at the garden center, but they have an extra strong, ready-to-use spray that's thicker, stronger, better for home use. So if you're getting a Christmas tree this early, I would say through first week of December, definitely spray those trees with Wilt Stop. It will be a game changer. It will make sure that tree definitely gets through the entire holiday celebration. Otherwise, you'll have this crispy fire hazard waiting halfway through the month. Then, also, there's several different types of trees you're seeing on Christmas tree lots. So we've got, I think, four different varieties here at the at our garden center. Go with the varieties that hold more moisture. And so Nordmund fir, Noble fir, those are your, I would even say Fraser fir, are your three best varieties that will last longer. The reason is they hold their needles like a Fraser fir. As it collapses and dries out and dies, it actually locks that needle into place. It doesn't want to let go. And so that's a great thing if you're going to get through the new year. Nordmund fir and Noble firs, these are very soft needled, thick, dense, layered trees. They're beautiful. They smell. The entire nursery is fragrant. This fragrance of Christmas trees permeates throughout. Those trunks on those trees are much larger. They're grown at higher altitude. And so they tend to be a little chubbier. And it's all about How much moisture can that trunk hold? The bigger the trunk, the more moisture. You'll actually physically feel the difference in the weight of those trees. So I'd say stay away from balsa fir. They'll dry out. There's no way a balsa fir is going to make it to the end of the year. No matter what you do, it's not going to make it. Douglas fir, no matter what you do, they're not going to make it. They're grown at lower altitudes. They grow faster. They have a smaller trunk. They have denser needle growth. They're just more exposed. They perspire faster, and they have a smaller reserve. And so they just dry out faster. If you're going to try that, the reason that you're seeing them at tree lots is because they're cheaper. They grow twice as fast. They're grown at lower altitude. And so you can get more trees per acre. It's all a mathematical profit-making thing. So you'll see the Douglas firs and the balsa firs less expensive because they grow faster at lower altitudes, but they also dry out faster. Those are mainly, I encourage folks to buy those varieties towards the, you know, the week prior, 2 weeks prior to the holiday celebration. Do it then. They'll make it, no problem, because they're only exposed for 2 weeks. If you're going to go in the next week or two, make sure you get the chubbier, just bigger reserve, thicker needles. They weigh more. Go with the Nordman fir, the Noble fir, or the Fraser fir. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Well, I guess I should actually. Trees are just like cut flowers. So this is whether you're giving cut flowers to your wife, your coworkers, your whoever, or a tree. If it's been cut, you'll want to put a fresh cut on the bottom of that tree. What happens is the tree will actually callus over. Just like you get a scab on your arm, you get a cut, your arm will try to scab over and keep the infections out and seal all the stuff back in so it doesn't leak as much. A tree will do exactly the same thing. It will kind of seal itself over. And so no water can get through that. So if you put a fresh cut on the bottom, you get fresh capillaries opening up. And so the plant can now absorb more moisture. That and warm. Go with warm water, not hot water. That'll scald the tree or your flowers. Go with lukewarm water. It opens up the capillary so it takes in more moisture. Those two things, I'd say three. Put a fresh cut, water it with warm water, and spray it with Wilt Stop. You're going to have a great tree, great experience. Good. I mean, obviously buy a fresh tree. Don't get one that's been roasting out there in the sun. I mean, if you're buying it from an open lot and it's been open for 2-3 days, it's dry. Just lift it up and check. Check to see if it's shedding moisture, your needles. You can tell when it's dry, if it's off color. The needles are wilting, curling. Those are all indications it's been open too much. When we purposely put all of our trees under the greenhouse with the shade, because it's shaded, just keeps them perspiring. And then we don't open up more than we think we can sell in the next day or two. We're purposely trying to keep them fresh. Then we spray them with Wilt Stop. Those things will be a game changer for you. If you're using living trees, this is a rooted tree, you're going to bring it indoors and decorate it, or just leave it outdoors in the front, by the front patio or on the deck. Here's the thing with those. Great idea. We actually sell more living trees than we do cut trees here at the garden center. It's a tradition. It seems to be trending that way. And we would rather sell you a living tree that you can go plant after the holidays. The secret with those, don't bring them in too long. What happens is that furnace is going inside. It's dry. The furnace is amazing how fast it dries out the air. Well, now all of a sudden the plant can't absorb moisture fast enough, faster than it's perspiring, because it's so doggone warm in your house. Secondly, the trees will actually, they'll wake up. They're used to the cold nights right now. When you bring them indoors and it's 68 degrees 24/7 all the time, that plant is now actively using more moisture, and so it dries out faster. I would say don't bring a living Christmas tree indoors for more than 10 days. If it's a really big one, like we've got some 6, 7, 8 footers, I'd say no more than a week. So the smaller the tree, the less foliage is exposed, the longer you can keep it in. It's all about drying and activity. Then, when you bring it back outdoors in January or whenever the holidays are over, You want to not just take it out and plant it. You want to take it out and let it transition. You put it underneath a covered patio in an unheated garage up against the south side of your house where it just throws off enough heat. Let it adapt for a week or two and then go plant it. Let it adjust to the cold air again outside. That's how you keep your Christmas trees truly fresh.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our Winter Blooming Heat.
With 2018 upon us, you might as well start the gardens out right with one of these few winter blooming flowers.
Ferny evergreen leaves are topped by the sweetest of bell-shaped pink flowers.
Loves to be planted right out in the yard. Enjoy showing off in winter at just $36.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Where people who love winter blooming heat, they love to shop. Look, if your wife, mom, or dad wants a sweater for Christmas, get them a sweater, not some piece of plastic.
But if someone you truly care about loves their garden, a gift card to Waters makes perfect sense.
Next spring, she can pick out exactly what they were hoping for.
We all know it's not the same as a huge hanging basket or fragrant rose, but hey, it's winter. Gardeners understand.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, and watersgardencenter.com.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we are in the studio with Lisa Waters Lane. She comes each week with your garden questions. And welcome, Lace. Glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Great, might I say.
Yeah.
Exceptional Thanksgiving feast. Might have just broadcast that over where we had family up. Uh-huh. Kind of a medium-sized crowd, and table was full, and bellies were full.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time. Well done.
It was fun. It's always fun.
I love it when you get a turkey. We had a turkey, but you also got me a filet.
Yes.
That I could rotisserize on the outside barbecue.
You love to rotisserize.
I do.
It was a beautiful day to be outside rotisserizing as well.
Yeah. Sure beats a snowstorm or rain or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dogs were happy. There floating, kind of looking at stuff. So anyway, really good time had by all.
Yes.
And then this, I had a couple come in. Uh-huh. That listen to the podcast.
Really?
They watch our YouTubes.
Oh, my.
They don't even live here. But they were coming in from Anaheim, visiting family down in Phoenix.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how they kind of made the route through here, but they purposely stopped to let three rambunctious boys stretch your legs. And they're going, people are listening. Uh-huh. From all over the place. It's kind of exciting to see that going on. They enjoyed the trees. They're obviously a gardener.
Yes.
Because they're stopping at garden centers while traveling.
That's how you know a true gardener.
That's true.
They will stop at any garden center, anywhere, any state, any time, and look through.
New folks coming in, just they're buying houses or they're researching properties here. We see them show up. Quite often, actually, here at the garden center.
They want to see what they can grow, what the garden centers offer, definitely.
Yeah, that's a sign of a true gardener. Now, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But you never let me.
That's not true.
Well, we're not working right now. We're vacationing.
I disagree with that.
Well, Vermont, you said go off and visit all the garden centers, because all garden center tour... And then you went off on vacation. You played by yourself while you let me go look
at... That was different.
Oh, okay.
That was like a whole group of garden center owners.
200 garden center owners and managers landing. We always land someplace in the country. Each year it's different. And then we all tour each other's garden centers. Just we get the inside scoop. You can go in the back office, loading docks, warehouses. Everything is fair game.
Yes.
And so we got to see Gardener Supply and a bunch of just tremendous garden centers.
Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You get to talk with them and go on the bus with them and have lunch with them and It's great.
It's the 200 garden center.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
I love the garden centers. It's the number. I'm an introvert.
That's just true.
That's like 199 people too many.
Even I'm too many. You don't even count. Anyway, so we digress terribly. Mm. We've got some garden questions. Just
we do.
Impart some info. Mm-hmm. What do we got? What are people talking about?
Speaking of people being new into the area, Lloyd moved from a temperate climate. It's his first time being in a home that actually has an irrigation system.
Oh, nice.
And his question is basically, what in the world do I do with this irrigation system? Number one, never had one. Number two, it freezes here. What's he supposed to do with it? And how does he handle it?
Yeah. So not only irrigation, we're using drip irrigation or micro irrigation, which is it's kind of unique to the Southwest. More parts of the country are starting to get on board. They should. It's a much more efficient way to water. But what do you do with those systems? They're very forgiving. So, and they're very easy to fix. You can fix it yourself. It's just stick them together. And there's no glue. There's no tape. You're not screwing things on. It's very easy to do. So what you do now, we're probably shutting the systems down. And so the main thing to watch with your drip system, so any irrigation, is that backflow preventer. Just Google that, figure out what it looks like. And out in the yard, you'll have this huge piece of hardware coming out of the ground that you disconnect so that it doesn't freeze. And don't feel pressured. It'll be a while before we get an intense freeze. But sometime in January, it's going to be cold. I mean, truly cold. Truly like single-digit cold. They'll put an insulative bag over top of that piece of hardware to kind of keep the cold out. But if it permeates long enough in winter, first part of February, end of January, it'll get intensely cold. It can break that part, and that's an expensive part. So it's like $300 part plus another $300 plumber's bill to get it fixed, unless you're handy. Don't let that break. So we take that apart and get all the water out. If you don't have one of those, we don't have that. We've got a little bit older house, and I put the system in myself. And so that system I know is a below ground. I know it's not going to freeze. What I do is I keep it running because I'll forget to water otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I keep it running. I've backed it off to about a couple times a month. I'll water. So every 2 weeks, I'll cycle the trees and shrubs, the pots and containers, pansies, that kind of stuff, a little more often. So once a week, I think I've got every 5 days or something like that. So I've adjusted them to water middle of the day because it's warmest. And I've really stretched out the irrigation timing. So how many days between each cycle. And I'll let it go and it won't freeze. It won't have an issue for us. So you could do that as well. So it depends on the system you got and how old or new and what's going on. Lawns, they've got the pop-up sprinkler stuff usually. So there you might be watering every 3 or 4 days again. So it's just you back it off. We do water through winter.
Let me emphasize that again.
We do water through winter because we can get long dry spells. And then if you get cold, we'll get what's called winter burn, or a dried plant can't keep the antifreeze going up and down the structure of that plant. So it will sacrifice the tops, mainly on hedgerows, red-tip photinia, big plants. You'll see the tops of them burned off. Those are ones they turned off their irrigation system and never watered through winter once. The plants got dry. We had a cold snap and it killed off the top of the plant. So if you water sporadically every once in a while, totally is a game changer. You'll have no issues, and you'll have better bud growth, better spring growth, better flowers in the spring. And spring will start into February, March. For sure, you're in the peak of spring with forsythia, flowering quince, lilacs start blooming all in March, sometimes sooner than that. So it just depends on the weather that we have. Right. That's when come talk to us, visit us. We'll walk you right through it if you need further help than that. Thank you, Lloyd. Welcome to God's country,
right?
Northern Arizona.
I would say make sure you're disconnecting your hoses from your outside bibs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because that one will freeze pretty easily.
Even a backflow. They've got the special handles that drain when you turn the water off. But sometimes that hose will keep the water in that stem, and so you have to lose it. We've actually had that happen to our own house.
Right.
Pretty easy to replace, but it's a $15, $20 part and a pain to get to.
Right.
Why do that? Just we have quick connectors. This mm-hmm. make a great stocking stuffer for folks.
Yeah.
A quick connector where you can quickly, with just one hand, one thumb, connect and unconnect a hose so you can drain that hose mm-hmm. every time you use it.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Our next quick question is from Suzanne. She wants to know, is it possible to still be getting aphids and spider mites on roses and pines this time of year? She thinks she's seeing it out there on there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Aphids are thick right now. I don't think spider mites. I don't think it's that. Spider mites are more of a summer thing. I mean, it could be a freakish thing if she's coming from the Verde Valley or something. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But mainly aphids. Aphids you'll see, and ciliads. If you're seeing some spider webs in the pine trees, that's ciliads, a little tiny, tiny, tiny bug that creates a little webbing. So it can kind of look like a spider bite, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But what do? You spray it with an oil. We've got an all-season oil. It's organic. Mm-hmm. It's very safe for you, the birds, your pets. Hose it down and they will be obliterated, I mean, immediately killed off. So that's what I would suggest. But they love pine trees, great big black aphid.
Yeah.
Ciliads love pine trees, so kind of roses. You get on that, watch for that. But yes, you can definitely have bugs right now, and this is their time to thrive. Okay, Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners, be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Waters Garden Center, showcasing this week's plant of the week and my fresh-cut Nordman fir.
With five different varieties from pine to fir, I assure you not all cut trees are created equal.
Nordmans are related to our native fir. The soft green needles adorn dark green branches that defy gravity, even with heavy ornaments, and stays fresh.
A big tree is just $89 and only grown here at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Where people who love super fresh Christmas trees love to shop.
Look, if your wife, mom, or dad wants a sweater for Christmas, get them a sweater, not some piece of plastic.
But if someone you truly care about loves their garden, a gift card to Waters makes perfect sense.
Next spring, she can pick out exactly what they were hoping for.
We all know it's not the same as a huge hanging basket or fragrant rose, but hey, it's winter. Gardeners understand.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, and watersgardencenter.com.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
What you're finding right now in the gardens, out in the landscape, we're seeing it here in the landscapes here at the nursery. We're on a major frontage road. We've got like 500-600 feet of Iron Springs primetime real estate. And the javelina are just tearing the landscape up. So we're trying to fight them off, getting rid of their food sources. They were after the grubs, so white worms inside the soil. They were rooting up the entire landscape, going after grubs. I didn't see them out there. I didn't see the grubs in the soil. I knew it was happening because you come in the morning and the javelina have rototilled that soil. They're after the protein of those worms. Because it's been so warm, these grubs are very active right now. They're eating ferociously. They're trying to gather up fat, get size before it gets cold. Then they got to dig down deeper, and they'll hibernate down 2, 3, 4 feet in the ground, depending on how cold it gets. So the javelina are doing the same thing. They know this. They're trying to devour all these grubs before it gets cold, while they're still high, while they're still up close to the soil surface. And so we've put grub killer down and just watered it in, and away we go. That'll be gone. Once the food is gone, the javelina will be gone. And so you're finding that the animals are really active. They know it's going to be cold. They know only the strong survive, especially a cold winter. And so they're trying to fatten up and keep active. So there's this pressure. That and you're seeing that the hunt is on right now. So hunting season's out. If you roam around the backcountry, you're seeing camo everywhere, guys with guns just scouting things out, trying to figure it out. So the deer, the javelina, are pressured into the neighborhoods where they're safe. They're getting out of harm's way. Their buddy was shot out in the forest. Now they're coming into the neighborhood. So you see some of that extra pressure. Then they're after the moisture. It's been dry. And so the animals are coming into the neighborhoods where the bird bath and the moisture is. And so, and many of the food sources are there too. So it's dried up out in the forest. They've got some hunt pressure on them. The watering holes have kind of dried up, and so they're coming in, and there's more pressure on your landscape in some neighborhoods this time of year than other times of year. And so how do you deal with javelina going after your landscapes? Deer, I thought I'd cover gophers. I've had quite a few voles, field mice, coming in, into the nursery and into the gardens. They're trying to get into the hot tub. They're trying to get into the pads, furniture pads, that you get in that storage bin. They're trying to get into the built-in grill. And so I'm fighting them off. And so I've got this buffer, this halo effect, you know, out there, go and live and be free. But the second you're trying to eat my, you know, destroy $300 worth of, you know, beautiful furniture pads, I'm coming after you and all your kin. And so there's ways that you do that. I thought I would cover that over bits of the show. Why don't we start with javelina? Just because we had mentioned that already. One, don't put things out that they like to eat. And when they're after the worms and the grubs in your garden soil, get rid of those. Very easy. So if they're in rooting around, there's a reason they're rooting. They don't do it just for fun. They do it because they're after food. And their main protein source is insects. And so they're eating grubs, worms, earwigs, you know, that kind of stuff. And they're actively in the soil. You see that, come in. It's very inexpensive stuff. I mean, a bag, I don't know how much it is, 15, 20 bucks, but it covers like 8,000 square feet. One bag will do most of the yard. One bag. And you put it out there, water it in, wait till a storm comes, put it down right then, and you'll find that the javelina will come and try to dig up and they won't find anything. They'll go, well, that was fun while it lasted. Let's take the party over next door, and they'll start doing that to the next door neighbors and start rooting their gardens up. That's a way to get rid of them. Secondly, don't plant plants that javelina eat. If that's really an issue for you, I've got a list here at the Garden Center of javelina-resistive plants. So we've got a whole list that we've seen in neighborhoods that they just seem to leave alone. So a lot of them are native. So your Oregon grapes, century plants or agaves, a lot of the yuccas, especially the bigger ones, your banana yuccas and your Joshua trees, soap tree yuccas, these bigger ones, they don't bother those. A lot of your silk tassel bushes, they just don't bother. And so they might come in when you plant one. It's okay to plant those plants right now. What they'll do is they'll go, oh, there's something new. And look, all the soil's been turned over for us. This is going to be easy pickings. Hey, guys, over here, let's dig around this new silverberry bush, native, that just grows wild. They have no interest in it whatsoever. They're interested in the fresh soil that you've dug up because they're going, oh, there's got to be worms in there. Look how nice and rich it is. So they'll turn it up and push the plant off to the side. And you're going, doggone, you have javelina, what's going on? Stop doing that. And so that's, you can plant those now, but plant plants that they just aren't interested in, then try to keep them off until they get used to that new plant out in the yard. They're taking interest. They're taking note of what you're doing and anything new. They're going to be curious. Let's see. I'm out of time here. We'll cover, we'll have Lisa come in, and then I'll go deep into deer, rabbit, and gophers. How about that? Segment 5. Be right back on The Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our Winter Blooming Heat.
With 2018 upon us, you might as well start the gardens out right with one of these few winter blooming flowers.
Ferny evergreen leaves are topped by the sweetest of bell-shaped pink flowers.
loves to be planted right out in the yard, enjoys showing off in winter at just $36.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love winter blooming heath, they love to shop. Waters Garden Center is showcasing this week's plant of the week and my fresh cut Nordman fir.
With five different varieties from pine to fir, I assure you not all cut trees are created equal.
Nordmans are related to our native fir. The soft green needles adorn dark green branches that defy gravity, even with heavy ornaments, and stays fresh.
A big tree is just $89 and only grown here at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Where people who love super fresh Christmas trees love to shop.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with this segment. It's all about her and her gardens and her green thumbs and the beauty that we expect gardens to provide for us. So welcome back to the studio, Lise.
Thank you.
So what you got for us this week?
Well, it's time to start thinking about that change of seasons. We've put away the last of the Halloween decorations. We've put the pumpkins away, right? We're thinking about putting up our Christmas lights. You put up our Christmas lights.
Some of them. Yeah, not all of them. All the kids are coming home this winter. So for Christmas, we haven't seen them not for Christmas at least. They've not come home back to Prescott for 7-8 years. So it's very exciting. They're coming back. They're bringing grandkids.
Exciting to have all the kids home for the holidays.
So I want to decorate the house a little bit more.
So you're kind of doing that Greenwald thing that, you know what I'm talking about?
No. What is that?
That Chevy Chase movie where he decorates the house.
That's right. Sucks down the entire city block, turns the power off. Yeah, it's not quite that.
No, you haven't. But yeah, we actually bought new lights this year to put up.
Wow,
the house,
living on the edge.
We haven't done that. And
since the kids left. Have we ever done that? We like recycling.
So everybody's thinking about, okay, we've got the fall stuff put away. It's time to get out the Christmas stuff. And the same inside as well. We start thinking about our inside decorating.
Yeah.
So, of course, we start thinking Christmas plants. And the granddaddy, the big booah of all the Christmas plants, of course, is the poinsettia.
Yeah.
But there's also some others out there. But I was going to hit on the poinsettias first because if you get one now, we still have, 3-4 weeks till Christmas. Yeah, but if you got a poinsettia now, there's no reason it shouldn't last well until Christmas, but even past Christmas, as long as you take good care of it.
Yeah, it's true.
What a lot of people tend to do with their poinsettias that I've seen is they overwater them.
Yeah.
So you've got to give them good drainage. A lot of them come wrapped in that real pretty foil or the wrapping, which is very, very attractive. But if you don't give them some drainage, either poke some holes in that foil or pull them out of that foil when you water them, you're going to rot them. And they're just going to, they're going to start weeping. They're going to just look horrible.
Drop leaves. I mean, they'll yellow stop up.
Blooming. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So making sure you keep, the thing about poinsettias is they like even moisture. So you can't let them go too dry, but you can't let them get sopping wet either. So a great trick for having a terrific poinsettia through the season is a moisture meter.
Oh, good point. Yeah, so true.
And it takes the guesswork out of it, you know. So, and then you're not trying to stick your fingers in there, and then you get dirt on your fingernail that you can't get out of. So a moisture meter is a terrific little tool that you can use. Stick it in that poinsettia, and you want it like right in the middle, right at that even moisture where it's not too dry, not too wet, and it just takes the guesswork right out of it.
If you have houseplants, you need a moisture meter. They aren't very much. What are they, like under $10 or something? They're not very much. And it's a tool that lasts you for years.
Right.
So if you're going to grow houseplants, no matter what the variety, but especially those that are seasonal, seasonal moms, poinsettias, Christmas cactus, game changer, really makes a difference.
Oh, definitely.
Get care for those. Another one I might mention on poinsettias, stay away from the poinsettias. If you're going to the grocery store, they've got that huge display right by the front door.
Right.
Poinsettias love consistency
yes.
in moisture. and even more consistency of temperature. They don't want to get cold and then hot, then cold, then hot. Once they get cold, they just defoliate, turn yellow, and they just weep, and they have issues. So yeah. You don't want that one at the front of the hardware store, the front of the drugstore, the front of the grocery store. You want the one that's in the back,
yeah,
where it's more consistent temperature. Mm-hmm. Same for your house. I wouldn't put it right by the front door.
No.
I would put it further in where the temperature mm-hmm. is more. These are tropical plants. They like to be at like 80 degrees and moist and humid. Mm-hmm. That's just not Prescott, Arizona, or yeah. anywhere in northern Arizona right now.
Yeah.
So there's a trick to that.
Sure. So common sense, don't put it in front of your fireplace.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Don't put it right in front of a hot window where the sun's coming in on it. Don't put it underneath a heater vent that's going to be blowing down
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
So those are some things that are definitely going to help you maintain good life expectancy on that poinsettia. And the other thing that I see, and I see it every single year, people coming from Phoenix or from Southern Cal, they put them outside.
Yeah. Well, they can do that, but we'll have more to sell you later.
Ooh, yeah.
So they'll last a couple nights and then just melt down.
Yeah. They are not designed to be outside here in the northern parts of Arizona.
Yeah.
So do not do that because they will not last.
Yeah. Go fake if you're going to do that.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And the other thing I want to point out about poinsettias, and I hear this all the time, everybody freaks out. Oh, I can't have one. It's poisonous to my pets. Well, I think your pet would have to eat your poinsettia, your neighbor's poinsettia, and most of your neighborhood poinsettias for them to be poisonous.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, there is some toxicity to them, but they would have to ingest quite a bit.
They're going
to
hack up a fur ball before they actually kill themselves by eating a poinsettia. And they're all juicy and gross and sticky. They're not. You just don't have that issue. That's a myth that we want to bust right here.
Yeah.
I think you can have that and have a dog, have a puppy.
Right.
They're the most mischievous things ever, and they're not going to hurt themselves.
They might whack it to death with their tail,
yeah.
but I don't think they're going to. So, use some common sense on that, definitely. But some other plants I want to mention are the anthuriums, which is more of a tropical. You see it a lot in Hawaii. It has a big red kind of heart-shaped. It's not truly a blossom. It's almost like a leaf or something to it, but so attractive. If you want something different for a holiday centerpiece, table, entryway, check out the anthuriums because they are absolutely gorgeous. Last truly a long, long time.
Crazy long bloom cycle. I mean, mm-hmm. even longer than even orchids.
Really
long bloom cycle. Very pretty, mm-hmm. very cheery. In the winter.
Definitely.
And different. It's something you just don't see. They're hard to find, but if you come to the right garden center,
you
can find lots of them.
Yeah. That's right.
Anthuriums, that's great.
Definitely. Bromeliads are another one that are my favorite. Another truly long blooming. We're talking months and months and months. In fact, I'm going to throw away, I know I said the word, throw away.
Sacrilege. Garden sacrilege.
I'm going to throw away an orchid that I've had in the house for a while now, and it was really pretty, but it's pretty much gone out of bloom. I've had it on my coffee table, and it served its purpose. And I'm not one of those people that I care enough to bring it back into bloom. I'm going to toss it. And I know people are going to go, but that's just how I am. I don't have the patience to bring them back into bloom. So I'm going to throw that away. But we have a beautiful bromeliad that it almost reminds me of a candy cane. The bottom part is kind of a dark red, but as it goes up, it kind of goes to a pink and then to a white at the very top. So it's very, very pretty. So I'm going to bring that one home, I think.
Yeah, Lisa, when the season's over, she doesn't waste time. That poinsettia, we'll have a bunch of them at home. As soon as the holidays are over, they are outside on the front patio for a couple nights, and then I haul them to the nursery and throw them away. We're done. That's it. There's no keeping this thing alive. This is a seasonal plant meant to be enjoyed for a season, and it's almost appalling to me. And I'm okay with starting seasonal plants, but you're so...
I'm
instantaneous.
Heartless.
You are heartless. Oh,
I know.
Man.
It's, which I'm not that way with puppies and kitties and people. But with plants, I have no problem kind of just letting them go. I will ask, sometimes I'll ask, you know, with employees and stuff, if they want to give it a home. But most of the time, they have a bunch of them already.
True. Yeah, that's true.
So I have no problem just moving them along into the dumpster. It's okay to do that and get new pretty stuff.
Come talk to Lisa and see all the pretty Christmas plants, holiday plants. I mean, true nursery grown, for here nursery plants. She can give you the inside scoop on which one's best for your yard. Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you. But no, you had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our Winter Blooming Heat.
With 2018 upon us, you might as well start the gardens outright with one of these few winter blooming flowers.
Ferny evergreen leaves are topped by the sweetest of bell-shaped pink flowers.
Loves to be planted right out in the yard. Enjoy showing off in winter at just $36.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Where people who love winter blooming heat, they love to shop.
Let's cover the bane of my gardens. They have been wreaked havoc in the greenhouses, growing greenhouses, backyard raised beds, front landscapes. It's gophers, pocket gophers specifically. Pocket gophers have a piece of skin underneath their chin that they kind of dig soil into, and they use it kind of like a shovel, and they just kind of take it. They'll fill up a tunnel in this little pocket, take it to an exit tunnel, and then shove it outside. So you'll see these mounds erupting out in the gardens and the landscapes. They're after two things: easy diggings and then food. They love to eat insects and some of your plants, especially your vegetables. They love broccoli. I mean, you're going to pick fresh cauliflower, spinach for Christmas dinner here. It's filling out nicely. The gophers find it, and in a day, it's just gone. They'll like to eat yucca roots because these natives have very chubby, fat, moisture-rich, protein-rich roots. And so they'll be eating those roots, agaves. You'll see them actively underneath your big shrubs at fence lines because blue herons, hawks, coyotes, fox, that's a food source. They're thinking that's the greatest tasty morsel ever. So they're digging underneath certain plants for protection, and it's cool, and it's active, and it's rich in food. So if they're active, if you see these mounds showing up, that's going to be a pocket gopher, and that's why they call them pocket gophers. We don't have moles like you do in the East. We just don't have those. They don't live here. It's a pocket gopher. We have some prairie dogs up in the higher country, Flagstaff, Williams, those higher elevations, not really active in the lower elevations. So up to about 6,200 feet, something like that, it's mainly going to be a pocket gopher. If you see mounds of dirt, that's a pocket gopher. There's only three solutions to this. Actually, I guess there's four. One, we do have a repellent. It's made mainly of castor bean oil. It's put into a granular form. You spread this over the garden. It taints the soil where they just don't like this castor oil. They get the runs every time they dig through this, get the stuff on their fur, and then try to preen themselves. They're going, this is just irritating. I'm going next door and eat the neighbor's food, yard, because there's this repellent down there. It's called Mole Max. I know we don't have moles. Molmax works on moles, and it also works on pocket gophers. Highly effective. Spread it out there, works about 6-8 months or so. But then they're finally going to come back as that dissipates. They're going to be attracted to your gardens again. But that's repellents. That's one. Then you've got three forms of basically kill them. It's going to be gruesome a little bit, but you know, get rid of the underground rat. I call a gopher. They don't deserve to be alive in your yard. Live over there in freedom. But as soon as you cross the line over here, I'm coming after you. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to plant a $100 fruit tree and have you go eat it and have it collapse because you ate all the roots off. That's unacceptable behavior. I'm coming after you. And so what you've got are the traps. So your grandparents use just traps. You put them in the runs. They walk into the trap. It just pings them, pokes them in the heart. They're gone. Humane, a little gruesome for you because you've got to deal with a dead carcass, and they aren't always completely dead all the time. Sometimes it takes a while. So you got to deal with that. That's kind of a negative. Secondly is going to be gas. So they make little flares you can chuck down in the hole, and then it suffocates them or asphyxiates them. If it's a very active run, they've been there for a while, I don't find personally gas works. If it's a small run, you just got them, it's just showed up, put it in there, highly effective. But if your yard looks like a bomb field went off, that's a gas is not going to work for you. You got to upgrade. And then you get poisons. So a bait, usually they're using corn or a seed, and they'll lace it with either strychnine, highly dangerous, or zinc, far less dangerous. I'd say stay away from strychnine-based poisons. It's just too dangerous. I mean, you don't even want to handle it, much less put it out in the yard where your dogs and cats and kids and everything else can get into it or potentially. I refuse to sell strychnine-based poisons here at my garden center. Just, it's too dangerous. They do make an alternative, which is zinc-based. So a little bit of zinc is good for you. A lot of zinc, not. So you'll feel sick to your stomach. The critter will go to bed, not wake up. They just are going to go to bed and just go, I don't feel good, and not wake up. You never see a dead carcass ever. How do you administer a zinc paste, a gopher killer, basically? I think the one we have, it's seed with dipped in zinc. Put it down there. They're attracted to it, and they'll digest it going, oh, that's great. Oh, I feel nice and full. Oh, I don't feel quite right. I think I'll go to bed, come back at this thing tomorrow. Go to bed, not wake up. How do you get the seed down where they will notice it? Well, those exit tunnels, those mounds, underneath that, there's a hole that often has been plugged with soft dirt. If you dig that hole out, you'll find a tunnel underneath that. So you put a seed down in there as far as you can that's been tainted, this gopher bait, as far as you can, and sometimes they'll take it and eat it. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll just kick it right out of the hole. I found that I've got a gopher probe. There's a tool that they use that you probe around the outer edges of this mound. You'll feel it hit a soft spot, and you go, oh, that's the tunnel. I got this thing. You release it. It's got an opening at the bottom of this probe, and it lets the bait out underneath, well down, further down into the run. So you get a higher hit rate. You get a better, more effectiveness to it. So if you've got a big acreage or a lot of gophers, get the gopher probe. Otherwise, you can put the bait in with a teaspoon or something and poke it. Just get as far down there as you can. Keep on it. And what I'll do is I'll bait a tunnel, a mound. Then I'll kick that mound with my foot so I know, okay, I've done that one already. Just every morning I go out and I just trap or bait or go after a new mound, because I know they're active right there. And if you do that over a month or so, you'll find, oh, they're all gone. I don't see that. I see they're over there, but not over here. That's how you deal with gophers. It's got to be war. You got to have a mindset of, this is it. You guys have got to go. The Marines have landed, and you're not welcome here. This is my garden, my yard, and you're going to be gone, or I'm going to come after you and all your kin. So you got to have that mindset and keep after them. Consistency. It's not a one and done kind of thing. Deer are actually a little bit easier, less work. So right now you're seeing them peel off the bark of like apples, pears, aspens. They'll rub the bark off because the cambium layer underneath the bark is real sweet. So they like the taste. So they're eating your trees, basically. If they peel enough bark off, it girdles the tree. Easy to solve. Couple things. One, they make repellents. Highly effective. So Repels All by Bonide. Very, very good. I think they also have a capsaicin variety. So it's just real strong pepper. And so they'll start licking or trying to peel off the bark, and their mouth will just turn on, will be on fire. They're going, man, the aspen's at her yard. It's just no good. Let's go next door and eat theirs. My mouth doesn't burn every time I go try to eat the bark off the trees over here, off the red-tipped photinias, the foliage. It doesn't, my mouth, and you can spray it with this capsaicin-based repellent, organic, safe, doesn't hurt them, but it makes their mouth hurt. The other one's called Repelzol. That one's a rotten eggs and tastes sour, so it's bad taste and it smells bad, so they get less interested in that. Another insider tip is, on a bigger tree, if they're rubbing the bark off, I've actually had very good effect with taking bird netting and loosely wrapping it around the trunk where they seem to be active. And I'll just staple gun this bird netting to the trunk, and they won't mess with that. I'll just let it loosely sit there. I don't wrap it tight. I let it float above the bark. Then I'll shave off the rest of it, and then that keeps them off. They don't want to mess with that. It's just something different. They're afraid of getting tangled in it. And so that, and you don't hardly see it. So that's been quite effective until the trees get thick enough bark where they can protect themselves. When they're younger, they're more tasty. They're more interested in those younger trees. Older, more mature trees, the bark is so thick, it's like armor. The deer aren't going to bother those. And so we'll cover this a little bit more, but got to take a break. Support our sponsors. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Look, if your wife, mom, or dad wants a sweater for Christmas, get them a sweater, not some piece of plastic.
But if someone you truly care about loves their garden, a gift card to Waters makes perfect sense.
Next spring, she can pick out exactly what they were hoping for.
We all know it's not the same as a huge hanging basket or fragrant rose, but hey, it's winter. Gardeners understand.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, and watersgardencenter.com.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it too.
Now, something you can do for deer and repellents, we were talking about repellents for the deer, equally effective on the rabbits. So you spritz the stuff they're trying to eat. If you're going to put a new hedgerow in, perfectly fine. I know it's November, about December, but you are okay to plant here. We're so mild, the plants will continue to root for the next month through the end of the year, basically. But if you know you've got deer and you know you've got rabbits, go ahead and preemptively spritz those plants, whether they're deciduous, they lose their leaves, spritz the bark with a repellent. If it's a nice evergreen hedge, spritz the foliage. So they're going to be interested. They're going to take interest. They're going to notice you've got a new row of fruit trees, a new row of privacy screen hedges. Spritz those. So if they come in and go, hey, this is new. Hey, Fred, let's go check out what they did last night. They'll go, oh, this thing tastes terrible. Oh, this thing smells bad. Whoa, let's move on. So that they don't get interested in that. And so that's how you deal with that. Also, just plant plants they don't like. There's walk your neighborhood. Take a picture. Come into the nursery and go, hey, I want one of these. What is this? The deer aren't eating it and it looks good. I want one in my yard. And we can ID that and help you get more deer-resistive plants in your yard, rabbit-resistant plants. In fact, I've got a list here at the garden center of deer and rabbit resistive plants. And so we can hone you in with personal experience or with this list on what's going to be good in your yard. We've got the same thing for javelina. Unfortunately, we don't have that for gophers. So that's what I wonder. I don't know what list I could create with gophers. They eat everything, those little turds. Oh, I can't believe they're so destructive. I've seen 8-year-old trees blow over in the wind because the gophers ate all the roots off. So if you've got that, come talk to us right away, because they're going to camp out all winter underneath your new pear tree you planted until it's no roots left and it dies, blows over. We can help you get that thing going, get it out of there. Oh, okay. What else did we cover? Oh, one other that you may not know is here. Porcupines. I know you've never seen one. I know you don't think they're in your neighborhood, but they are. So porcupines come out at night. They're nocturnal. They kind of slow and meander around, and they'll just plop down at the base of your tree. They just sit there, and they'll just slowly eat all the bark off your new fruit tree or aspen or pine tree. So if you see bark that's missing about the bottom 3 feet of your plant, your tree, basically, that is going to be a porcupine. Or if bark has been peeled off of, let's say, a major limb. Sometimes they'll climb the tree because they can do that. They'll peel the bark off of a major limb, but its damage is right there where you can tell they were sitting and then just slowly eating all the bark off that tree. That's going to be porcupine. Only one thing does that, porcupines. So that will wrap it with some tree netting or a tree wrap to protect it, and that'll keep the porcupines off. Last one I'll leave you with, skunks have been bad this year. So there's a lot of skunk out roaming in the neighborhoods. You see them run down on the side of the road. They're active in neighborhoods. They go through your gardens and they eat grubs. And it'll be a little hole in the yard, in the garden, about the size of a silver dollar, and cone-shaped. Comes down. You go, what is that? You'll see dozens of them in your yard. It's dozens of cone-shaped holes in your gardens, a lawn, a flower bed. That's going to be skunk. And what they do is they can smell grubs. And so they'll go through, smell a grub, or listen to them, or however they find them. With their little paws, they dig it out. You see this cone-shaped hole. Get the grub, eat it, move on. And so if you've got that, kill the grubs. The skunks will move on. So if you get in trouble, come talk to Lisa and I. We'll be glad to help you out any way we can out in the gardens. Come smell all the Christmas trees. See all the latest designer poinsettias. They're beautiful. It's the holidays. May Lisa and I wish you and yours the merriest of holiday seasons.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our McMinn Manzanita.
Part of water's expanding native selection, this is the big, bold manzanita you find growing throughout Arizona.
A local evergreen growing wild with the classic red bark for a styling, drought-hardy landscape.
Locally grown for local landscapes, this easy care shrub is just $39.
Water's Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love lots of native plants, they love to shop.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.